Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
You know, I'm just sensing, like, I just believe that God wants to use you for a few moments here. I believe that God wants to bring words of knowledge for healing through you, the body. I just want to give a few moments for some prophetic declarations. Not a teaching, not a preaching, just some prophetic declarations, some calling out of some words of knowledge, things that you can't know in your natural, things that you can't know by natural understanding. And it might be for healing, it might be for a circumstance, I don't really know. But in the body, I believe God wants to release the body in a fresh way this morning. I know this is a little bit out of the box, and some of you probably have your hearts going, and that's probably a good sign that you should come on up and take a risk. How many love to risk? Yeah. Brian's a guy that is just receiving some real incredible healing in his life right now.
Amen. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yes, amen.
I believe this week there are going to be some that are going to walk out by risk that God is enough. And he's going to bring a circumstance, or he maybe already has brought a circumstance in your life where you have to do something that is going to take risk. And I believe it's going to be something you're going to need to let go of. You've been trying to control it, and it's going to take great risk to let go. And when you let go, it's going to go flying, and it's going to fall and break, and you're going to think it's a big mess. But God is saying, I need to make it a mess so I can repair it and build it up into what I originally wanted it to be. You're afraid to let it go because when you let it go, there's pressure. There's pressure. And when you let go, that other side is going to fly. And there's going to be consequences that are going to be nasty and ugly. And you're going to feel it's unrepairable. But the Lord is saying, I will repair. My glory will rest because you will not be able to fix it. And it's going to take risk. So believe. Trust. It's almost a warning. And God is saying, I will be with you. Do not be afraid.
Yeah, somebody's getting it.
Oh, yes.
You know, that was a word that I believe that was the word of the Lord. There are some situations in your life that to this point you've avoided conflict. To this point you've avoided doing the thing that you need to do to break through. And that's the part of risk that's very, very real. Risk isn't easy. Risk is risky. And the thing about risk is you position yourself so that you respond differently. In other words, when this situation, and probably there's a number of people in this house that word relates to, and when that situation confronts you, the deal is that you don't just do what you've always done. The deal is that you gather grace from Holy Spirit. He's going to come upon you. You're going to know that this was about you, about this situation. And then you walk differently into that thing. Does that make sense? I just want to try to bring some clarity. I believe that was the word of the Lord. One of the definitions of insanity is that you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. And, you know, what she just prophesied is that there's got to be a different something that you do than what you've been doing to confront and to take risk. Who else? Who else has a word of knowledge?
I heard the Lord say that a lot of us are like old sponges. For a time, we were able to really receive, and we cleaned up a lot of messes. But when a sponge gets old, it doesn't have the ability to pick up what's there. And I see in the Spirit today that our spirits are becoming new sponges for the things of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's a new ability to be able to absorb what God's doing and what God's saying. Let the Lord do this supernaturally in you here today. Become that new sponge to take what God is doing. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
I just got the word that there's a lot of people that, or a few people that have been out of work for a while, and that God's just been dealing with you just in your own heart, and you've just been faithful with spending time with Him and being with Him while you haven't had the chance to be working. But I believe that doors are going to be opening for you, and that new opportunities and things will be opening for you to have work and to have steady income.
Hang on, Joanna. That's a good word. Everybody who is unemployed or underemployed because of the economy, would you please stand up? And I just want Joanna to pray. Now, she's doing this by faith because she's been looking for a job too. So this is really a step of faith for her. She isn't one that has accomplished this yet. She isn't necessarily walking in this reality yet. But yet God has put this in her heart. As she is going to pray over you, I believe that God's going to release something into her life. We've got testimonies of at least one person I know who's been out of work for a long time, just got a job last week. And there's two others that I know of that are just real close to getting work. So God's doing something in the way of providing provision, jobs for people. Joanna, go ahead and pray.
Father, we just thank you for your kingdom and your natural kingdom combining, God, that this earth and your kingdom in heaven shall be one. And those of us who walk in the Spirit, God, that we have favor. And we just thank you for the jobs and the opportunities and the perfect aligning of everyone's skills and our job opportunities would be opening, Father. And we just thank you for that. And we just call those into being. And we declare favor over the ones that are here seeking employment, God. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes, we agree. We agree. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Who else has a word? Just kind of, it's really a risk. You've never done this before. In fact, I believe it needs to be somebody who's never done this before. Here we go.
Well, you're talking about taking risks, and I just want to say that for us, risks don't exist. When God is on your side, you've already won. There's nothing to worry about.
Good word. Yeah, I had mixed emotions about singing that song, going up the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down, because he's already been defeated. You know, he just doesn't have a kingdom. All he has is lies. There is a going up and tearing down the shambles, the shells of what at one time may have been reality. And destroying that. It's called pulling down thoughts and imaginations, strongholds that have held you back, strongholds that have convinced you that he still has authority in your life, he still has power in your life, and he just doesn't. It's a lie. It's a facade.
Dude, not only is he a liar, he's forgetful.
He's forgetful? Well, I'll tell you, he sure remembers how to bring my memories up. But yeah, he's lost. One more person. I just believe there. I just still feel like there's just one person. I just want to give opportunity. All right. Thanks for bailing me out, Sandy. Bless her.
I feel like I want to share a deeper revelation of what God's shown me about his love and romancing me and romancing his bride. I learned some new adjectives about his love. It's unconditional. It's perfect. It's all-encompassing. And it's everlasting. But I learned that it's indiscriminate. It's indiscriminate. Yes, yes. And it's indiscreet. Those strongholds that kind of weigh you down. Those things where you think that I know better, I shouldn't be here. It's indiscriminate. His love is indiscriminate. And it just set me free. He's a wild and romancing us. He's indiscriminate in his love for us. And what is bothering us and weighing us down, he's indiscriminate. It doesn't matter.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, and he proves that in that while I was yet a sinner, he poured out his love upon me. While I was yet a sinner, we're so we discriminate with our love. You know, we look at each other and we figure, well, I can maybe love a few of you out here in the congregation as long as you don't cross me. As long as you don't disappoint me, I can love you. Much less can we just love the world the way that God loves the world. You know, that's a shift that has to happen in our... Those are some of those shambles up on the high hill that need to be torn down. That God's love is indiscriminate. And if he loves every kind of person with every kind of sin known to mankind, if he loves them, then who are we to hold judgment and to withhold our love from them? How many need some of those high places torn down in our hearts and in our minds? Yeah? Yeah. We love you, Lord. We just love you, Jesus.
The Father is saying there are many voices that you hear throughout the week. Some of those thoughts are your own. Some of them are mine, but some of them are the enemy. And he's saying, he's warning, he's saying you are taking ownership of all your thoughts when all your thoughts are not your own. So take every thought captive to obedience to me. Test them. Test them. Throw out the thoughts that are not true, and hold on to what is true.
Yes, we agree. Amen. Amen. How many know sometimes it's just good to linger? I just don't want to be driven by agenda. I just, you know... Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Can this presence change us? Is this presence changing you? Is this presence going to do something so deep in your heart that you're going to see when you leave this place? You're going to see differently. You're going to see your wife. You're going to see your husband. You're going to see your children
differently? What if I could see my wife from God's perspective? I mean, what if I could see the beauty of her heart from God's perspective? You know, I mean, I know a little bit about Susie. I know her some. We're getting to know each other. 31 years, and we're still getting to know each other. But what if I could see Susie? What if I could see her heart, that even when she says something that offends me, what if I could see her heart? What if even if her actions were contrary to the things that I wanted to be pleased by, what if I could see her heart? What if I had the kind of trust for Sue that God has for Sue? Do you know that God trusts Susie? Do you know that God trusts you? Do you know that He has confidence? He has more confidence in you than you have in yourself? What if we looked at ourselves the way God looks at us? What if we saw ourselves the way God sees us? You know, I just happen to believe that He sees us through a bloody filter. And contained in that blood is all my sin. Contained in that blood is all my failure. And I'm just learning to know and to see myself the way God sees me. See, when I see myself the way I see myself, I'm not much good to you. I'm not much good to anybody. When I see myself the way God sees me, all of a sudden I see I've got something of value in me. I've got something to distribute. I've got something to give out. And you just walk a little bit lighter when you just see yourself the way that God sees you. You know, this is too good to be true. But it is true. This is a higher truth than what this world can contain. It isn't fair. It's grace. Thank God He's not fair. Thank God that He's indiscriminate with His love. You know, if there's something that breaks my heart, that brings me to tears, if there's something that just moves me in the inner man, it's when I see people who are absolutely loved by God and they don't see it, they don't believe it. When I see a people that still figure there's something more they've got to do, something more that they've got to be, something else that they've got to attain in order to somehow please God, I tell you, that's a dead-end road. You'll never, never, never get anywhere with that. But the thing that breaks my heart, the thing, my passion, my desire for you as the body of Christ is that you would know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of God. That you'd be able to know this love, that you'd be able to experience, not just have some kind of a knowledge of it, but that you'd be able to know this love, that you'd be able to embrace this love in such a deep, deep, passionate way that there isn't any circumstance of life that'll tear it out of you. That the next time you fall and you sin and you blow it again, you're still rooted and grounded in His love. Circumstances of life come by and you lose your job, you lose your house, you lose your car, and you're still rooted and grounded in His love. See, this love is so much deeper than circumstances. This love will affect your circumstances. It will affect your circumstances, but this love isn't contained in your circumstances. It's not limited by your circumstances. How many appreciate the worship team? Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Wow, that's quite a guitar there, isn't it? Look at that thing. Patriotic guitar. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
No, lots of times, Dave.
Hang on, he's putting turning on here.
Okay. Lots of times, Dave says, "Don't you appreciate the worship team?" And I just want to say, on behalf of the worship teams, all the worship teams here, we just appreciate you so much. You don't know what a blessing it is to be able to come. And you're ready to worship, and you're ready to receive. And, you know, that makes such a difference. And we can go into such great places in the Lord because we're all on the worship team. So,
yeah.
You know, the next time Dave says, "Don't you appreciate the worship team?" give yourself a pat on the back because you were part of us, okay?
Amen. Well, we want to welcome, if you're a guest here, if you're just visiting, we encourage you, if you're looking for a home church, and there's just a lot of good churches in Elk River, this is one of them, but we encourage you to visit a couple of times because we're just a little bit different every time, and that's all right. How many know that God's a God of variety? And he just, man, to try to put him in a box is big mistake. And we just appreciate who the Holy Spirit is as he leads, as he guides, as he releases life into the body. If you're here for the first time, would you mind raising your hands and just so we can get a look at you? Hi, welcome. Welcome. A couple of people here, somebody in the back. Welcome. Who else? Anybody over on this side? We just welcome you. We just trust really that, you know, the big deal here is that you get touched by God. It's not necessarily coming to hear some kind of a great preacher. If you're going to come here for that, you may be disappointed. If you're going to come here for great worship, that isn't it. But if you've come to meet Jesus, if you want to come and meet Holy Spirit, if you want the Father's love poured out upon you, man, that's what we're after. That's just what that's what drives us. That's what makes us tick. Video announcements. How many love the video announcements? Okay. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Youth Alive is it's kind of an interdenominational group that just hosts about 4 Youth Alive events throughout the year, plus a summer camp, and we have the privilege, really, of hosting that. Actually, we're going to do it twice this year. And you know, we always benefit. We really do. When we come in, they were here yesterday and throughout the weekend. And I don't know, there's just a different atmosphere that comes when you do those kinds of things. And I don't know, it's such a privilege to host Youth Alive and just who they are. So, good stuff. I'm going to release the children's ministry. There will be no sparks. We need to listen up here. No sparks today. Walkers through 2 years old. We're just kind of short on help in the Sunday school, and so sparks will have to remain in the service today. Kids, you're free. That's all right. That's okay. And let's see, Brian and Renee, come on up.
Grandma and Grandpa are mad that they didn't get to hold Olivia. Henry's just going to play a slideshow that has to do with Cristo Vive, which is we have the pleasure of partnering with them to lead a trip to Ukraine. The focus of this trip is to work with Max's ministry, specifically with children and adults that have disabilities. Max works with four different facilities. And in Ukraine, their children and adults with disabilities pretty much are institutionalized. So these are facilities that house 150 to 200 people with disabilities. Sorry. And we just want to go and share the love of Jesus with them in a practical way, as well as we're really believing for supernatural healing in their lives, in spirit, mind, and body. And Cristo Vive does camps. And so that's kind of our premise for going in. We're going to do three-day camps in each of these facilities and just share a gospel presentation with them and just really love on them. The team that we bring from the United States is going to be met with a team in Ukraine that Max already works with. Many of them are English speakers, which will be helpful for us because we can minister in tandem with them. So we are planning on going in July. It'll be 14 days at this point. It's set up. There's a possibility that some will stay on for an additional week, but this portion of the team is, or the trip is for 14 days. It's a real opportunity to be the gospel in motion, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and to love the least of these. And although most of the focus will be on our time there, we'll also be over the weekends that we're there, we'll be working with Church of Praise as well, just visiting their churches and just being blessed by the friendship that we have with them. That's Pastor Gregory's church. For those of you that haven't met Max, or just to jog your memory, Max is a young man that has a very dynamic ministry in Ukraine. He's from Ukraine and just has a heart for really what he calls the forgotten people there. And so he works with orphans and he works with the adults and children with disabilities and really hasn't ever had anyone come to work specifically with his ministry. So this is exciting for him just to have the encouragement and to have someone come alongside him and his team to work specifically with his ministry. So you can just kind of watch. Is there anything else that you wanted to share? We have a meeting. It was announced on the red carpet. We have a meeting coming up on the 7th. We'll just meet for a short time. We're going to provide a lunch for anybody interested. And if you're even remotely interested, please come and just get some information. You know, at least hear what the vision is before you start to look at the financial aspect of it. If you're concerned about the financial part of it, you know, we're taking our whole family, and we just adopted in the last 5 months here, and it's ridiculous to even think that we're going to now add one more person to expense for this trip, but the Lord's really going to meet that need. He's been meeting the need for our adoption fees, and he's going to meet that need, and so ask the Lord first if he wants you to go, and then look at the financial part of it after that. So that's it.
All right. Yeah, so that's the 7th after, is that a Sunday after?
Yeah.
And it's after the service and one of the things that I know the Lord has spoken is that God is going to give us a heart for the poor, that God is going to elevate our awareness of the poor and then cause us not just to say, oh my goodness, isn't that too bad, but to do something about it. And this is one way that you can get involved. Brian and Renee are good, solid, godly people who just have a heart for those kids that they're going to minister to. So I'm going to take an offering. Alice, come on up.
Henry, I'm going to share from Deuteronomy 8:15, if you could put that up, starting with 15. And thank you for grace, Dave. I forgot that I was supposed to do this. But Thank you. If you have these in your announcement bulletin and you don't use it, why don't you throw it in the basket so we can be green. And also, if you need an offering envelope, raise your hand and the ushers will come by and give those to you. I'll look at Deuteronomy 8, starting the 15th verse. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Why does he let you go through the wilderness? The answer was there. To do good for you in the end. There's a reason for it. Some of you feel like you're in the wilderness financially or relationally or even with the Lord. But it has a purpose. It's to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you the power to make wealth, and that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And then obviously we wonder, okay, what is the covenant? And in Genesis 24, 1, it talks about that, where it says, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in every way. And the New Testament tells us that we are qualified for the covenant blessing that the Lord gave to Abraham because of the blood of Jesus. So if you feel like you're in a wilderness in any area of your life, one of the ways to help us come out of the wilderness is to give of ourselves, give financially, give in hospitality. Give is a very big word. It's a very big part of life. And so if there aren't finances you can give, there are other things that you can give, and give of yourself. And it is a proof of the covenant that the Lord has, that he provides in a time when we feel like we're in the wilderness. But he promises us that we are blessed in every way, just as Abraham was blessed. That is part of the covenant-keeping God. That was the word we had this morning from Luke, was that it isn't, and I don't mean the Gospel of Luke, I mean Luke, when he said that it isn't our goodness, you're not worthy, get past it, oh well, he is worthy, and if you think you're worthy, then he's going to keep you in the desert for a while longer so that he can reveal to you that he will allow you to be humbled so that you can realize the beauty of relying upon him and the beauty of walking with him through these difficult times, as it says, so that at the end, to do good for you in the end. And that is his heart for you, is to do good. So Father, we thank you for your heart always wanting to do good for us, that you always think about us, that you always care about us, Lord God. And Father, I ask that you would help us to understand the facets of the engagement ring that you've given us, the facets of the diamond that's in our ring, that Father, that we can see your character in those facets, and help us to explore the depth of those. Help us to understand that, because as we understand you, Lord God, we begin to see our reflection even in those facets, and we begin to be more like you, Lord. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you in giving. We want to be more like you in our hearts, Lord God, and in our responses to you. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we ask that you bless this offering, bless those who can give, bless those who can't give. I pray, Father God, for those who can't give financially, that they would give in other ways, that there would be an outpouring. There'd be an outpouring to replace any self-pity or anything that would drag them down and make them shake their fists at you, Lord God, that there'd be a transfer today, that they would understand that you are on their side. And you always mean good. And we give you praise and we give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.
One other thing we want to do. we're going to receive new members today. Yeah. So why don't those who are going to join in membership today, why don't you come on up? John and Carolyn Audette and their daughter Christine. We're here, and Casey Hanna, His wife took the plunge some years ago, and Casey's finally submitting. Kurt Cryer. Yeah, go Kurt. You know, and some of these faces are a little bit newer. Just get to know them. Just yes. Awesome people. Amen. Kay Mantifold. Where is Kay? Oh, Kay's not here. That's right. She wasn't going to make it. Take that one back. Jenny Pearson. Where's Jenny? She's not here either. Okay. They missed it. John and Lisa Strait and Josh. Come on up. As a church, we don't really press membership. Therefore, none of these have been coerced, twisted, and made to join and to sign on the dotted line with blood and all those things. But really, we do believe in membership. Membership is just basically a commitment. That's kind of a dirty word, especially in this charismatics world. We somehow feel like freedom in the Spirit frees us from commitment, frees us from loving one another, frees us from honoring one another. And really, if you're in the body of Christ, there's a commitment that comes out of relationship. And so really what they're doing is they're just saying, yeah, we believe what you're doing here, and we want to be part of who you are and what you're doing. Now, they all sat through a meeting with me. They got to know my heart a little bit, and they understand that this isn't about now I'm your pastor, and now you're going to have to toe the mark. You know, now you're going to have to take and line up with everything that I want. You got to get on my vision. That's just not it at all. But commitment in membership does give me a freedom to speak into their lives. It builds a relationship where I know that they trust me, and I can trust them. So we don't look at membership as something, you know, if you're not a member and you've been coming for 15 years, that's all right. That's okay. There just isn't a pressure on that. But there is something about being committed. Whatever you do, do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. In word or deed, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. And there's something about a wholehearted commitment to the body of Christ, to the body that you belong to, that is really significant. It changes you. It does something in your heart. So it's with those thoughts in mind, that's how we view membership. And the neat thing about it is that when they feel like it's time for them to move on, one of the values that we have in this house is that his sheep hear his voice. And they can, at any time, when they feel like, you know, Dave, it's just time for us to move into someplace else, how many have been here where we've just released people with open hands freely? I think Bob used to say the door coming in, going out, is just as wide open as the door coming in. Now that's true, unless you're running from God. Then we're probably going to chase you a little bit. But we just don't have any desire to control, to manipulate, or to have any kind of undue authority that isn't godly over anybody. So it's with that in mind, we're going to have you read the I'm going to read the church covenant, and when I look at you and give you the evil eye, you say, yes, by the grace of God. We believe those called to membership agree to make the following statement of covenant. Having been led by God, the Holy Spirit, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and to confess Him as Lord, and on confession of this faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God and this assembly most solemnly and joyfully covenant together as one body in Christ to endeavor to fully please the Lord. We covenant to live as a community of God's redeemed people, binding ourselves together in covenant love, submitting to compassionate authority and rulership, and manifesting peace, holiness, and family fidelity as expressed through the respected manhood and womanhood, revered fatherhood, cherished motherhood, secure and obedient children. We covenant to live as a community where loving instruction and correction produce healthy growth and maturity, and where dedication to excellence produces the finest results in arts, crafts, trades, and commerce, thus providing prosperity and abundance for all its members. We covenant to live as a community of faith, worship, praise, and selfless ministry, manifesting individually and corporately the gifts and fruit of the Holy Spirit. We covenant to live as a community where all life is inspired and directed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ and is lived to His glory as a witness and testimony to the world. If you agree with this, say yes by the grace of God.
Yes, by the grace of God.
Okay. Father, we just receive, Lord, each one here. Lord, not with a spirit of control, but Lord, with a spirit of release. Father, I believe that you want to pull out the diamonds. You want to pull out the golds. You want to pull out, Lord, the gifting that's resident in each member, each one gathered here, Lord, that there is not one greater, not one smaller. Lord, that each one carries a unique expression and fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just release them to be who they are, Lord, to traffic in and out through this body and to have influence and to receive influence from the members here that are represented. We bless them. We just release them to your hand and to your care. You're the chief shepherd. You're the one that watches over their souls. And we bless them into this body in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Welcome, guys. Blessings. Blessings. Lord bless you. Blessings, man. Lord bless you guys. Blessings, Kurt. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I wasn't so sure I was going to be able to preach today. I felt like the Lord said I maybe wouldn't preach today. But I've already preached, so I already ruined that. Is Erin Worthley here today? I don't see Erin. She is not. Okay. Just to let you know, many of you have been praying for Erin. We just got a really great report on her lungs that seems like God has just really restored some health to her lungs and everything. So that's cool. That's been a long battle. That's been something that we've been just really going after, and it's good to see and to hear a good report like that. What do you think of your new stalls? This is what happened when you turn these youngins loose in here. Ben and Jared Griner came in and just kind of messed up our world here, and so now you got to move from a new stall. That's all right. That's good to happen. I know it's going to be a little bit tough for me. I'm going to bump into chairs here as I'm walking, but. Yeah, I did say he could. Yeah, he came and got permission, and he's a good boy. Ah, oh, Lord, we love you. Father, we love you. Lord, we love your ways. We love who you are. God, you are awesome in just the release of life. Lord, that we're just willing to make a mess and to allow a mess in order for life to happen. And Father, we just welcome you, God, even as I minister out of your word, Lord, that you would mess up our lives in areas that need to be messed up. God, that you'd bring conviction where conviction needs to be brought. Lord, we just give you permission because we know that you're for us, you're not against us. God, we know that your desire is to see your children come into a place of maturity, a place of solidity, a place where our lives reflect the life of Jesus, who reflected your life. We welcome you here. Holy Spirit, expand in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's the third epistle of John, verse 2. This is a scripture that I believe that I'm just going to keep before us as a body. There are three things that I really felt like the Lord really wants to emphasize in this next season in this church, in this house. The first one is that we would come into a place of a prosperous soul, that there is an expansion that God wants to bring to our understanding of the kingdom of God and our ability to live from the kingdom rather than just to be affected and moved by what happens here on planet Earth. And I believe that, you know, that's a sovereign work. It's a work of grace. It's a work of mercy. It's a work of just God's purpose and your inheritance in Him. It's something that we get because of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. The second thing that I really believe God wants to stir up is a recognition and a desire and a dependence upon one another. That God wants to break this independent spirit that's upon many of us and upon the Church of Jesus Christ, that we're going to learn to know what the body is. We're going to learn to know what it means when the left arm's hurting, the right arm feels it. When the toe is hurting, you know, the eyeball feels it. And we want to learn to have such that kind of a sensitivity to one another and to God that we just understand a little bit more the dynamics of my actions, what I do affects you. And the things that you do affects me in the body of Christ. Just recently I heard of a church that just went through another, you know, things that just break my heart. I hear of churches where because of decisions, because of a pastor or because of, you know, and a church just explodes and hurt comes out and, you know, and it's just happened again and people are left out wandering and the effect of a pastor, the things that I do so affect you. And I don't know, I walk in really an incredible fear with that. It scares the bejeebers out of me. You know, but there's just a truth in that in the body of Christ, how we function with one another affects us. And that I know that God wants to bring a bride into view that is unified, that loves one another, that the key of when people look at us isn't going to be how often does he go to church. You know, the key is going to be, look at that. Look how he loves people. Look how she loves people. Look at the unity of spirit that they have one with another. And that's the second thing that I feel like God really wants to highlight. The third thing, and we touched on it a little bit this morning, is that God really wants to stir our hearts for the poor. And that's just not financially poor. There's some spiritually poor people. There's people in spiritual poverty that just don't have a way out, that God wants to use you. And he wants to use me to bring redemption, to bring salvation, to bring the kingdom into their lives. But especially the financially poor, that God wants to raise our level of awareness. See, we can get so secure in our jobs, in our prosperity, in our lives that we don't understand there are people. Do you know there are homeless people in Elk River? Did you know it's really a problem? That they are having problems? I've gotten 3 calls in the last month of somebody, people that were homeless with children, had no place to go. I mean, nothing. And what we tend to want to do with that, we say, well, yeah, but they made their own bed. They can sleep in it, you know. And that's our discriminate love. The indiscriminate love of God says, you know what? You reach out, you help. And you help to correct those areas of their lives, that you help by the grace of God to inject the life of Jesus into them to the point where they can make right decisions, where they can make wise decisions. We have got a generation coming up that are fatherless and motherless like never before. We've got a generation coming up where divorce is so rampant, but it's not just that. We've got a generation coming up that the fathers can be in the house and be totally absent. That the mother can be in the house and be totally absent. And there's something that we haven't learned how to train our children. My generation, I'm talking my generation here. But the generation following me is now having kids of their own. And much of the generation following me has never learned how to do life. Everything from cooking to sewing to keeping a job to being faithful to marriage and all those things. We haven't purposely imparted some things into that generation. Now they're having kids, never having learned. See, it's an issue in society. And it's an issue that I believe God wants to give us some answers to. That it's not a matter of just patting them on the back and saying, well, you'll be okay. Be warm, be filled. You know? So it's those things. But the first thing here that I want to keep before us, because none of that will happen unless we have prosperous souls. I will never learn to relate with you unless I have a prosperous soul. I'll never learn to do anything good for the poor unless I have a prosperous soul. Unless I have a soul that is overflowing with the abundance of the kingdom of God. Unless I'm filled, I don't have anything to give anybody else. You know, and one of the cries of my heart has been in the last month, God has faced me with some things. And he's faced me with some things that I've had to say, oh my goodness, that's bigger than me. I can't do this. And he says, yeah, you're getting it. It is bigger than you. And I've been saying, oh God, then I need just an invasion of your Holy Spirit. I need just this has got to happen. I see it, but God, apart from just an amazing outpouring of your Holy Spirit, this can't happen. But there's two ways, I believe, that we want to invite Holy Spirit into our lives. The first is, how do we drink of the Holy Spirit? What are you investing in your spirit, man, to make you have an abundance of spiritual life? I'll clue you in. If it's 2 hours on a Sunday morning when we come together, and that's it, you're emaciated in the spirit. You are not walking with an abundance, because what you get here on a Sunday morning for a couple hours isn't going to do it. You know, I don't know how to put that really nicely and softly and gently. And I don't know how to do that without saying that it takes works, but doggone it. There has to be a lining of our lives with what the Spirit is doing. There has to be a positioning of our hearts in a way that we're drinking in so that we can pour out. And we can say, oh God, just pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. You know, God's poured out his Spirit. He is pouring out his Spirit. There's an abundance of the Spirit of God being poured out. There's enough Spirit been poured out to change us for eternity. And there's more. There's greater. I'm believing that that Holy Spirit is going to come in a way that we're not going to be able to control it. And where we absolutely lose control. When I read revivals and when I read some of the things that happen out in the middle of the sticks, out of the middle of nowhere, where scoffers would come and say, nah, that wasn't really happening, and they'd come and it happened to them. That kind of a heavy outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I'm believing for it. I'm desperate for it. We've got to see it. And I don't say that in a way that is condemning or just like, there's just a hunger. There's just a reality that unless Holy Spirit just comes in that way. But you know what? Holy Spirit can come in that way. And unless you learn to drink, unless you learn to take in, unless you learn how to live in the Spirit, unless you learn how to walk in the Spirit, you can walk away from those kinds of meetings and you can be emaciated. Jesus, who had the fullness of God upon him, stood in their midst and preached and taught, worked magnificent miracles. And there were some that couldn't drink of the Spirit. There were some where religion blocked them. Self-satisfaction. Well, I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. I've got a name. I belong to that church. I belong to this name. I'm discipled by Gamaliel. See, and we can be so attached to a name and attached to an entity that we can miss out on the outpouring of Holy Spirit. Ha! I've studied John Calvin. Well, I'm of the Wesleys. And all through history, you've had people that have been attached to names and haven't known how to drink for themselves. See, my hope is that you're not here just because of a name. My hope is that you're not here just because I want to be attached to Living Waters Church, or Dave is my pastor, or Pastor Bob moves in this incredible way that he moves in the city. I just want to be attached to that. Now, I want to be attached to Bob, but Bob isn't my source. See, I receive from Bob, but I drink from the Holy Spirit. My question to you this morning is, and I didn't know I was going to go here, really. My question to you this morning is, are you attached to a name? Or are you able to drink of the Holy Spirit for yourself? Are you walking in a prosperous soul that knows how to overflow? Or are you walking in the kind of a soul that comes and gets a little bit here, a little bit there, but you really don't have enough to give out to anybody else? Fear? Excuses? This is what I want to keep before us for the next, I don't know how long it's going to be, a half a year? I'm not sure. I really don't know. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That prosper in all things, it includes financial prosperity. It does. Do you know that God wants you to prosper financially? You know, and there was a time that the church modeled poverty living and called it holiness. Well, let's just be a monk. Let's give everything. I'll take a vow of poverty on my life. And they thought that was some kind of a spiritual thing to do. You know, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to see your needs met in amazing ways. But that's not the only area of prosperity. Prosperity of soul, where you can lavish love upon people. How many of you have an abundance of love to love people with? How many of you have an overflowing love of the Jesus in you that touches your wife, that touches your children, that ministers to them, that gets down and serves them and lifts them up? See, there's this prosperity of soul that God wants to develop in you, and you can only get it by drinking. I can't give out a love that I don't have. And I can't give out a love that I'm not continually being filled with. There was an incredible infilling of the love of God this morning. Were you drinking it? Were you receiving it? Can you go on the abundance of that love now and start to pour it out? I mean, you can even bless the saints this afternoon. Both kinds of saints. The enemy. So how is your soul prospering? Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I rejoice greatly, brethren, when brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. As a pastor, there is no greater joy than when I see somebody gets it, when I see that somebody understands it, when I see a young person whose life is turned around for life, that they don't have to go through the stuff that I went through. They don't have to suffer the stuff that the world's suffering with. It's not normal for a 14, 15-year-old girl to start having sex and be pregnant. It's not normal for kids to start drinking at 13, 12, 11 years old like I did. That's not normal. Normality in Christ is being able to walk in a way that that stuff doesn't affect you. And that you can walk in confidence in a way that is above that stuff. I want to encourage you, young people, man, you're not missing out on anything. You're not missing out on those that are drinking and drugging. I was there, I did that, done that, got the t-shirt, and it rotted off my back. Parents, do they see a prosperity in your soul that they see something that they want to chase after? Is there an abundance in your soul that your children are eating off that, feeding off that, knowing that there's something different? One of the greatest privileges that I have is when my kids will come back and say, man, we see families and we're so grateful for our family. We certainly weren't perfect. Seems like the last 5-10 years we've been doing more repenting to our kids than anything else. But our kids say, wow, we see that in other families, and we didn't have that. Parents, are you walking in an abundance in your soul that affects your kids? I have no greater joy than when I see my children walking in truth. There just isn't a joy that surpasses me seeing my children walking with a whole heart for the truth. You know, I don't let it on to them much because I don't want to spoil them or anything, but doggone it, I get behind closed doors and I got to sew buttons back on, you know. I'm just going to do something very quickly. You're going to have to meditate on this on your own because I'm not going to have time to do it justice. But Matthew chapter 5. What I want us to see out of this is there is a way to move from a poverty mentality, from a poverty spirit, from a soul that's bound in poverty, to moving into a place of prosperity. Now, any place in your life that isn't glistening with hope, you know, I quoted that some time ago, and I quoted the wrong person. It wasn't Steve Backlund. It was, who'd you do that study with? Francis Frangipane, that wrote that in his book, The Battleground of the Mind. And it's any area of your life that isn't glistening with hope is under the influence of a lie. Any area of your life that's not glistening with hope. So how do you move from a lifestyle that doesn't have glistening hope, that's prosperity, where you have hope, where you have dreams, where you have vision, where you have purpose, where you know that you're connected in such a way that you can do the things that he's called you to do, that's prosperity of soul, part of it. And how do you move from that into the other? Well, I believe the Beatitudes are one of the ways that you can use as a pattern. I'm not much one for using patterns. Sometimes I am. See, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is just declaring this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what religion looks like. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, all them, you know, what you're used to. Jesus, over here. The people looked and they thought, wow, he talks like he knows what he's talking about. He talks like he's got experience. Let's listen to this Jesus for a while. How does Jesus get you into that kingdom mindset? Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4. Blessed are those that mourn. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay, I'm just going to finish with this. Any area of your life that needs to be transformed, any area of your life that needs to move from poverty into the riches of the kingdom of God, the first thing that has to happen is there has to be this confrontation with truth. The first thing that has to happen is I need to say, man, I'm poor in spirit there. I need what the Word says that I can have. Jesus set the standard. How many know that the church has been messing with that standard ever since? Keeps getting lower and lower and lower because we want the standard to meet man's experience. Yep. But Jesus set the standard, and he set the standard purposefully high because it's got to show us that we cannot do this. I cannot love my wife the way I need to love my wife. But there has to come a confrontation. I've confronted that in my life. I've wept. I've mourned over my inability to love my wife. Oh, Dave, weeping and mourning after you've been telling us all along that the joy of the Lord is our strength and we have holy laughter and we get to laugh and joy. Well, you know what? Weeping is part of the kingdom. This thing of a deep moving of the Holy Spirit. And it is Holy Spirit driven. If it's your own spirit driving it, it's not going to do any good. There's a true repentance, there's a worldly repentance, and then there's a God-inspired repentance. Your repentance is just going to bring you into a place where you've set yourself up for failure. But allowing yourself to be moved by godly repentance brings a mourning, brings a weeping. The third thing is blessed are the meek. Once you've confronted this thing, and once you've really allowed it to affect you, it humbles you. It brings you to a place where you want to walk in humility, not some kind of a false humility. There's been false humility. My goodness, the church is full of false humility, false religion, all that stuff. But a true brokenness will bring a humility. Now, humility isn't saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Humility is saying, I'll submit to what you're calling me to do. In other words, I'll walk in the works that you're calling me to walk in to effect this change. You know, I preach on grace. I love grace. But do you know how much Jesus looks at your works? Do you know that he wrote 7 letters to 7 churches? And the way that he testified to them in all 7 of the churches, he says, I know your works. That you have this and this and this and this. You've got some good works, but I know these other works. There's a sensing where Jesus knows the works that you and I walk in, but he also knows the motivation of those works. See, and if we're really broken, if we've really been seeing our lack and our need, it's not a matter of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and trying to work harder. It's a matter of resting. Humility is resting. In the power and in the movement of God. But there is something about man needing to take a step into that. You see what I'm saying here? The last thing is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. One of the things that you see so desperately we need in the Church of Jesus Christ is to hunger and to thirst, that when we see the illegitimacy of the poor being downtrodden, when we see abortion, when we see different things in our society where we're supposed to be having an effect, that we hunger and we thirst after that. See, I know that the church is called to a higher place in supernatural works. I know that the church is called to a place where we walk in the power gifts of God. Not as a matter of pride or arrogance or any of those things, but as a matter of being sons and daughters, being released into that. But I tell you, there's a hungering, there's a thirsting in my soul for that. You hear me preach about it a lot, and I hope you don't get mad at me, but doggone it. There's something driving in me saying, I've tasted, I've seen, I understand what the kingdom is supposed to look like. I understand the gold that's in you and you and you and you, and I understand the diamonds that are in you and you and you. And that somehow there's got to be a release of supernatural power to pull those things out and to put the glory of Jesus on display. And there's a hungering in my heart, there's a thirsting in my heart to see us as a body walk in those things. That's not a matter of, you know, pat us on the back. We're the ones that are doing the stuff. Yeah, that's the stuff that just gets you tied up in the name. and your works can just be dead. But see, God has better things in mind for us. God has better things in mind for you. God wants to back up His name with His works. God wants to release you into a place that you can walk confidently with the love of God and love with supernatural love. That you can give with supernatural generosity. You know, in some ways I like to apologize, say, you know, I just don't have time to preach, but I wouldn't take anything away from the service that's happened here today. I think we just need to rearrange our thoughts, rearrange the way that we do things. I believe that God accomplished things in our hearts more through that time of intimate worship. And sometimes I feel like the most powerful preaching that I do is coming off of that kind of a worship anointing where there's just words of exhortation. All the parts that everybody in this house had to play in that, the different prophetic words, the different releases of the music, and just everything that's happened here today, has it changed you? Has it equipped you? Has it empowered you? You know, someday we'll be able to look at that clock and say 11:30. No biggie. But you know, I'm just really happy to walk within the parameter of grace that we're in. I'm really happy just to live under the supernatural canopy of grace and of love that we're in right now. I'm not going to look to the future and say it's got to be like that. I'll do that in my closet. Let's stand together. We just want to invite, if you have need of healing, you know, I believe I saw a vision this morning of people with a dark cloud over their head. And they're always living on the one side of the cross. They're coming to the cross, continually confessing their sin, continually confessing their weakness. And they got to the cross and they got forgiven, but they never released that dark cloud. There was never a disbanding of that dark cloud. And that dark cloud, I believe, is depression. I believe that God wants, you know, some places have an anointing for healing cancer. I believe that this house needs to be a place where depression is broken, that there is an anointing on this house where depression is broken. And I want to encourage you, if you're the person that keeps going to the cross and you can't get past the cross where there's just the death, where there's just forgiveness, if you can never get past the place where there's abundance of life, where there's a release of resurrected life, where this darkness just hangs over and you continually has you coming to that place and there's a dead end, I want to encourage you, come on up, we'll pray for you. If you need healing, I mean, that was a very specific thing that I just talked about, but there's also, if you need healing in your body, we want to welcome you up. We'll have teams up here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this body, God. I thank you that this is a body that is coming into her destiny of a soul that is prosperous. Father, that this is a body who is coming into a place of largeness of heart, the expansion of the kingdom of God within them, that pours out through them, that ministers through them, that rests upon them, rests in them, and is released through them. Father, I bless this body. I bless every hearer here today just for the release of your kingdom in power and in tangible ways. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love on each other. There's coffee out in the lobby there. If you need any healing, if you need prayer, come on up.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in our area or plan on traveling to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.